Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to the Game Changer CLR. This is CLR. So much happening. NFL trade deadline. People moving all over the place. I keep the lead traded. Exiled to Miami. What did we do? So the NCAA and their infinite wisdom said, athletes can now profit off their names and their likeness. Is the NCAA giving in? Or deep down, is this what they wanted all along? Suns, heartbreaking loss last night. They can't say it, I can. That was one of the worst ref games ever. Remember, players can never say anything like that. They get fined. Coaches can't say anything like that. They get fined. I don't get fined. Absolutely terrible. Well, Pittsburgh. Looked a little sketchy. But they did prevail, and we'll get into that. We'll get into some of the highs and the lows in the NFL. We'll do all that right here on the Cave Show coming up with PLR. This is PLR, and we are brought to you, of course, by the one, the only, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. Get in there, let them know the PLR sent you. They will take care of you. 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a club member, get a lock in the back directly up to a humidor. Watch one of the many televisions they have there. NFL tickets, they show the NBA games, college football, nonstop, and check out the World Series tonight live. Again, I said a really smart man said Houston wins in six. Hopefully for Maduro's, though, there is another game to get down there for you to enjoy your steak. Enjoy. They do serve beer and wine. It's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights. Let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take care of you 10% off of your cigar purchase. I know I didn't mention in the intro. I do apologize. I think Verlander's due when he gets one tonight, which is the big one. All calls are made via the Kerry Lackey long line. We are laboring for a couple of guests, special guests that should be calling in. But I do want to open up the phone lines first. Calling number is 917-889-7828. Again, 917-889-7828. I do have a caller on hold. Thank you for your patience. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's Luke.
What up, buddy?
Well, I think first things first, are the Astros going to wrap up in six tonight, or are we going to see a game seven?
I caught six, so I can't get off of it now. So I'm sticking with my six.
All right. Because the way this series has been going, of course, as you know, visiting team has won every game. So I'm thinking the trend's going to continue.
So you got to go on seven.
I got it. The way it's been going wouldn't surprise me.
Now that is different. Would it surprise me? No. But I think the Astros have that infamous mo on their side now.
Well, I mean, it can also be a distraction, too. You know, I mean, I know everybody thinks, well, home crowd, you know, you're at home, it could be a game changer. But at the same time, you know, it brings so much more pressure to the home team that, you know, that they could lose that momentum.
Very good point, Luke. Very good point.
I know people think, that's ridiculous. Is it really?
No, it's a very valid point.
Here's the thing. You know, this series was promised to be like the good pitching matchups. We've seen anything but the good pitching matchups, especially in games one and two. Oh, game two looked like it was going to be one until that catastrophe in the top of the seventh inning, and then it was ended up 13-3. Like, what the?
Well, it started out as one. You know what I mean?
Clearly.
It started out as a good matchup, and then everything else kind of fell apart because you had a decent pitching matchup game one, but Cole wasn't himself. And then when you had it set up again for game five, Scherzer woke up and, you know, wasn't right. So the pitching didn't exactly, like you say, align the way a lot of folks would like it to. But at the same time, we haven't had bad pitching, per se. What we did have in the last game was bad umping. And I thought that went both ways. Some balls looked like strikes. Some strikes looked like balls. The ump was kind of all over the place. Just so you know where I come in on this.
Yes.
I'm kind of a fan. That's the only sport that I'm really a fan at going more into technology. I think balls and strikes should be balls and strikes. I don't like that one ump has a low strike zone, another ump has a high strike zone. One ump gives you the outside corner, one doesn't. I think because we have the technology in the box, there should be an umpire there. And I do believe that when the pitch is made, there should be a ding in his ear. You know, his left ear means strike, a right ear means ball. I really do believe that. If the technology isn't working, then fine, let him call the game. But otherwise, because I think it's so subjective. Balls and strikes are so subjective. I don't like that.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, though, the umpires are blowing his bats anyway.
Say that again?
Half the time, they don't know what they're calling.
Well, and that's my point. It's subjective. Like I said, I I'll go all the way back to the Miami Marlins winning the World Series years ago. They gave Ramon Hernandez, they gave him every low outside ball that were balls, and they called them strikes. Every one of them they got. So I don't get that. I think there has to be a time for technology like that. Now, some of this stuff I don't get. Like in football, I think there should be challenges because you can't stop the game. But it's not going to have a pace of play problem when it comes to baseball because it's already a bad pace. So we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I can't explain why the Yankees fired their pitching coach.
Larry Rothschild, right? 9 years in, he's gone. Here's my question for you, Lou. You're a Yankees fan. Why do you fire your pitching coach when you haven't really given him a frontline pitcher or a secondary frontline pitcher to really compete against the team with all the frontline pitchers?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all, especially after the season they had. And they're firing their pitching coach.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think some of the big shots in the organization are just making it very hard. I mean, I think they've lost their minds completely.
Yeah, I don't understand. What could he have gotten out of those guys that they weren't already giving? He wasn't the one that traded for J.A. Happ. He's not the one that didn't pull the trigger when a Greinke was out there. He's not the one that didn't do all that other stuff. What could he have gotten from Luis Trevino, who was hurt almost all year? What else could he have gotten from these guys? Maybe they don't. Obviously, they know more than me. But I don't see what else they could have got out of the guys that they had, or what else he could have got out of the guys that they had.
Yeah.
But
I don't think we got anything out of it.
Hey, obviously, like I said, he knows more than me. So who am I to argue?
Yeah. Well, you know, your reasoning, you know, doesn't make a lot of sense of why you fired him.
So, the Dallas Cowboys, changing the subject real quick, they're trying to get Jamal Adams from the New York Jets. It's all over the place. Trading deadline is officially over, but if you had a deal in the works, you can complete that deal. What are the chances you think that deal goes through, and would you like your Cowboys to end up with Jamal Adams?
Well, he hasn't done much for the Jets. I mean, at least Dallas may be a little more contention. I mean, I thought the purpose was to go to a contending team. I mean, you're sending one of the other, you're sending one of your other Jets players over to the Giants, who also have no shot to make the playoffs this year. So at least one was a smart trade.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get you. I didn't understand the Jets Giants move, but Jamal Adams to the Cowboys, to me, for the Cowboys, it makes all the sense in the world, because you go out and you get a guy that can pass rush from the New England Patriots and give you some help there. And now you go out and you're trying to get one of the best young safeties in the game. I like their thinking. I like what the Cowboys are doing. They are pushing all their chips to the center of the table. But
I mean,
you got to do.
Yeah, because, you know, going to your crosstown rivals who haven't even done anything this year either much, it's not really a smart trade.
Well, Lou, in terms of Dallas Cowboys, though, I'm looking at this team, and when you're in a conference and you're battling, you know, just take your division alone, but in your conference, you're battling the San Francisco 49ers, who haven't lost a game. The Seattle Seahawks, who are a very good team. The New Orleans Saints, who are a very good team. The Minnesota Vikings, a very good team. You're not that far out of Philadelphia, where you're out of striking distance. Detroit, who I thought was throwing in a towel, now may be saying, wait a second, not so fast. We're only one game back in the loss column. Those are teams that I think that you got to say, hey, look, and the Carolina Panthers, you got to say, look, if we can make a move, and we can go for it, and we win our division, and we are guaranteed a home game, why not?
Yeah.
Why not go for it? So, yeah, I have no issue with the Cowboys doing what they're doing whatsoever. I think it's a smart move. All the chips to the middle of the table.
Yeah. All right, but I just think they're very smart, though. But hey, I don't run the team, so I can't really argue with you.
Nope, I hear you, buddy.
You get the idea.
So,
all right.
That's it, my man.
Okay. All right, same
talk
time
to you
tomorrow. Same
all
time,
right,
same station.
Have a good one. You got it. Let's step away. Let's pay a couple of bills. Thanks, Lou, for giving a call as usual. We look forward to your chiming in.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So the trade deadline is here. There have been a couple trades that have been made already. The Los Angeles Rams. Aqib Talib, even though he's not going to play anymore this year, he's not set to come off of IR until week 15. We know he's not going to play probably the last couple of games anyway. They moved on from him. I don't know what this man did to L.A. Did he really piss him off that bad? Where he's going to the Dolphins. Really, this is a free cap space. They want to get Jalen Ramsey signed. He is the future. He is the end. He is the now. So, he's gone. It looks like Jamal Adams will not be leaving the Jets. He will be staying there. So he's not going to go anywhere. Le'Veon Bell doesn't look like he's going anywhere. Just throwing some of the names out that I've heard so far, I don't think Von Miller was moved. The Bears, oh my God, the Bears. They have decided that they're going to keep rocking with Trubisky. They've made the decision they're going to give him the year. I don't get it. I don't care to get it. I think the Bears are being asininely stupid, and I know that's redundant. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. You have a guy that's going to give you nothing for that defense. Nothing. At all. You are going to waste your defense because you have the inability to say, we were wrong, we whiffed, we missed. We're going to be stubborn. We're going to use our man pride, and we're going to be stubborn. And we know that there's something in there, and we can reach in, and Nagy can reach in, and he can pull it out. Okay. I hope I'm wrong. I 100% hope I'm wrong. But I don't see no way in hell Mitchell Trubisky gets good. He whiffed. He is a miss. He is not a good NFL quarterback. He's not. And there's no way that you could throw enough lipstick on that pig to make him seem like he's going to be a good NFL pick, because he's not. He's not good. And what you're doing is you're punishing the rest of the team for pride to say, wow, we missed on this guy. And that happens a lot in the league. It happens a whole lot. Ryan Pace, you missed. You whiffed on that pick. And no one is saying that you didn't make some other good moves, because you did. But this love affair that you have with Mitchell Trubisky is unfounded. He is not good. You thought, oh, wow. He interviewed well. He answered all the questions well. He did all this stuff really, really good. And you know what? I'm smarter than everybody else in the room. So we can draft him, and we can make him good. You can't make him good. You can't make a cat bark. Looks like we have a caller, Kerry Lackey, Law Line 917-889-7828. This is the KSHO PLR caller. Thank you for your patience.
an idea, and I think you're touching on it, but you're afraid to say it. So I'm going to go ahead and say it. And I don't think this is terrible. It's going to sound terrible, right? It's going to sound terrible. But here's what I think the NFL should try, or maybe another league. But at least in football, this is what should be tried. Here's what I've noticed. The teams that have more white players tend to be better than the other teams.
Okay, so if you want to be an idiot, we'll let you be an idiot on your own show, not on this one. So, the Chicago Bears really are missing the ship with this one. There are guys that were out there. Now, I don't know what the Saints would have wanted. I don't know what they really needed for, what they were asking for Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know what the Jaguars would have asked for Fultz, but there is no way that you should stick with Trubisky with all that talent. No way. But let's see how this NFL wraps it up, how we shut it down for the rest of the year. The NFC race is going to be an incredible race. When you take a look at what's going on out there in this landscape of the NFL, it makes you think what team is going to separate itself. And when you're looking at teams like the Green Bay Packers at 7-1, the New Orleans Saints at 7-1, San Francisco 49ers who are yet to lose a game, and you say, okay, these are our bell tower teams. These are this is the top of the top. What you have to keep in mind is if the season plays out the way it does, one of those teams is going to have to play a road game. So this is going to be a battle all the way to the end. If the playoffs were to start today, you have Dallas and Green Bay and New Orleans and San Francisco and Seattle and Minnesota in. Now, you tell me in that dogfight who you have. Because the way it's shaping up right now, you have a Seattle team going on the road. You have a Minnesota team going on the road. Both teams can play defense. Both teams can run the ball. They're not going to be afraid of the Cowboys or the Saints at all. And it's funny because in this league, in this era of the shuck and duck offense, and let's pass the ball and let's look cute while we're doing it, let's do all these things. Isn't it amazing the teams that are in the top, that are in the top of their division, or the playoff teams, are all teams that can run the ball? San Francisco is a team that can run the ball. Seattle's a team that runs the ball and plays defense. The Saints, you can say Drew Brees all you want. They run the ball. They make Latavius Murray look good. Green Bay runs the ball. Minnesota runs the ball. Dallas runs the ball. And Green Bay may be the worst team of all the teams that can run the ball, but they sure do play good defense. And if you get into that next tier, that next layer of teams, Carolina Panthers, they run the hell out of the ball. So, for all your shuck and duck, for all your cuteness, it still goes back to that same old adage. If you can run and you can play defense, you will go far in the NFL. And it's really just that simple. Step away, pay a couple bills. We'll be right back with you.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So, we have Mike Caratino scheduled to call in here in a couple of minutes. I do want to briefly, and if I don't get a chance to wrap it up before he gets on the line, I will definitely wrap it up after he gives a call in. He was over at ASU today. And ASU, actually, let's just go there. ASU really took a bad loss against UCLA. And that's a loss you just can't take. You had everything set up as a team for a certain line of progression that you need to make. And when you're going through your season, obviously there are games where you say, okay, this is a game that we should win. This is a game that's going to be tougher. This game leads to this, and this game leads to this. This team is 0-3 in the Pac-12 South. You can't be 0-3 in the Pac-12 South. It's really just that simple. I mean, there's certain things when you look at it and you say, well, look, that seems like it's unacceptable. That is unacceptable. You lost to Colorado, who's not a good team. But okay, you fought back. Bad loss, but you answered the bell against Cal, a ranked team. You answered the next bell against Washington State. And then you fall to Utah. There's no shame in losing to Utah at home, in Utah. They're a good team. And like I said, even the polls, the writers didn't punish you for that. You were still a ranked team. But you can't lose to UCLA. You can't go on the road and lose to, at the time, a 2-5 team. No matter how you slice that, that's just unacceptable. And I know this is a team that starts to get moving after a while. I know they're a team that could run the ball. I know they're a team that, even though you think Chip Kelly's going to throw the ball 1,000 times, his team runs. I know it's a team that embarrassed Stanford. But it's also a team that lost to Oregon State and Arizona and Cincinnati and San Diego State. It's not a team you lose to. So now you look up and you say, okay, how can we put the season back together? What are the puzzle pieces that we need to put this season back together to get us back not only in a respectable bowl, but in a spot where we can make a little bit of noise, especially with recruits? Well, that first task up is USC. You have to beat USC. This game now becomes a must. See, if you beat UCLA and you lose to USC, not saying that's acceptable, but there's no shame in that loss. But now, you can only have one more acceptable loss, and that would be to Oregon. And I'm not saying you're going to lose Oregon. I'm calling it a new term, an acceptable loss. Listen, let me bring on the man himself. My man, Sun Devil alum, co-host of the Sports Hangover. He keeps saying he's a member of the Wolfpack, but I've yet to see the NWO shirt. And as he says, one of the best and smartest people I know, the one and only Mike Caratino. What's up, buddy? Welcome to the K-Show with PLR and the Kelly Lackey Law Line.
Oh, man. This guy is full of compliments today. What, man, he's picking on me all the time, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, you know, just hung around. Went to listen to Coach Toast today. And, yeah, I mean, it's, again, he just said he liked the, you know, the team still in the third quarter. He said they started to wake up. He goes, you know, and you know him. No excuses. He says not taking away anything from UCLA. They, you know, they ran, you know, they had, what, 8 plays and 50 of them were running plays. So he, that's what he wants to do. And, yeah, it was, you know, but it was a tough first 2.5 quarters. And then, you know, they started to wake up a little bit too late. And, yeah, UCLA was trying to run the ball more. But at the same time, ASU caught some turnovers, got in the end zone. But, yeah, a little too little too late, like Coach said. Never lost time. Just, you know, he's they got their second bye this year because Mark Brand, the wonderful athletic director at SID of football, shared that it very rarely happens that college football ends up with a 13-week calendar season. But if it does, teams will usually get 2 bye weeks. So they were, you know, it came at, like Coach said, it came at a good time, but they definitely are raring to get back on the field. And USC, by the way, we learned today to Mark Brand's father, there's less than 2,000 seats left for the USC-ASU game. So it's headed to be a sellout. And if, yeah, people want to grab tickets, they're suggesting you maybe snatch some up now because there's less than 2,000 left.
So I'm going to cry foul on a couple things you said, just so you know.
All right.
Now,
all right,
when you came on, I was talking about acceptable losses. And
right, I got that, yeah.
When you look at the schedule, if ASU started the season and said they were going to go 8-4, I don't think many people would have said that's bad. I don't.
Right.
I think a lot of people would have said that's progress. So if you beat UCLA and you lose to USC, I don't even think the polls would have punished you because they didn't punish you after Utah. The writers said, hey, this is a team that's won some good games. And they went to Utah, and they lost to a really good Utah team. But when you lose to UCLA, and, again, this is where I cry foul, they didn't do crap in the second half. They didn't. Yeah, I know they put up a bunch of points, but that game was never in question. It was never in doubt. And if they would have put up a bunch of points right after halftime, I would have said, you know what? Okay, there's some fight in them. But they gave up 14 points right out of halftime. And then they started scoring.
Oh, I know. That's why I said the first 2.5 quarters. Because, I mean, it wasn't until halfway through the third, and that's what Herm said. He goes, it was about halfway through the third quarter with a little more spark on defense. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I know. I'm a homer. Yes, we all know this. But that being said, I'm a realist, too. And, yes, 8-4 would have been like, all right, 8-4 regular season, going to a decent bowl, have a chance for 9 wins. Everything that they're talking about building, and again, 5-3. Yes, I know when people sit there and say, "Oh, well, you know, so and so was this or that." Look, I mean, okay. Two things, real quick: 5-3. Okay, they prepare to win every week, and yeah, the Utah game, it was, you know, physical punch out. They got that a little bit later score. I mean, Vegas, you could have made 14-10. I mean, there was that borderline of the Utah defense. Like we touched on, is and even with 4 turnovers, ASU's offense, again, couldn't get much going. Again, that's a credit to Utah, who, again, no disrespect to Oregon, who, of course, like you said, ASU's played in a few weeks. No disrespect to Oregon, Paul. I literally do think, top to bottom, that Utah is the best team in the Pac-12. And if ASU does Utah that favor, inevitably, because it would be – I mean, again, I'm not trying to forecast like ahead. If they were to, if they're able to beat USC, they move on to Oregon. If they do Utah that favor and beat Oregon, and Utah wins out, even before the Pac-12 championship game, Utah wins out, they're going to jump Oregon in the polls because both Oregon and Utah have Rose. And everybody, you know, of course, wants to talk about Oregon and the Cyclones, but Utah, like I said, I mean, on the neutral field, I know it's different, but I don't know too many teams from other conferences that want to come into Utah and play them there. But that being said, I mean,
Mike,
they have a defense, which we know travels. But if ASU, to your point, though, they finish 8-4, if they were to finish 8-4, so, yeah, you're right. I mean, one more loss to Oregon, so that means you're beating USC, you're beating Oregon State, and you're beating U of A. So, I mean, again,
correct.
How can you say it's not progress? How can you say it's not progress? But, you know, I mean, I heard a ridiculous thing. A few people watching the game on Saturday, I heard that Chris Cartman got tweets last week, and so did Doug Haller, about how Jaden Daniels should have been benched. They should have taken him out of the Utah game. Then this week I hear from people, and I even saw one posting they're trying to win games. Fans are, you know, fanatics are acting like this team's 1-7 or 1-8, Paul. And I heard that Danny Gonzalez is now an overrated defensive coordinator. I just started to laugh. I couldn't even justify that with a comment. Again, I love the passion from the fans, but let's build. Let's build, and it's building that way.
Mike, I understand that. I do, and I really do get that. And I don't think anyone on this team is old. Coaches, players are overrated. What I do think, though, is when you set your benchmarks for certain games, and a schedule falls a certain way, and you go into Michigan, into Lansing, and you beat a Michigan State, and then you go into Cal, and you beat a Cal team that's ranked. There's certain games that you can't play down to your competition after playing up to win those games. You simply can't lose to Colorado.
And I'm not going to, but here's the thing.
Lose to UCLA.
Right. Losing to Colorado at home to me is a little worse than UCLA. Here's what I'm going to say about UCLA, and I get it. And you know this too, and I get the devil's advocate, the argument you're presenting, and I understand it. But what frustrates me is, yeah, there's still a team across from you punching you in the mouth. Now, Chip Kelly, I mean, they were down 42-17 to Washington State. Now, say what you want about Washington State, but they won that game 67-63. Then they turn around and beat a Stanford team. Okay, it might be down, but just like Utah, I mean, Stanford defensively is still one of the most physical teams, if not the second most, behind Utah defensively. They turn around, they have a very good win against Stanford. Yes, they didn't look good against Cincinnati early. Same thing. They have young players. There's somebody across the line from you punching you in the mouth. And yes, to your point, though, when you do, and we've agreed on this, when you do want to become elite, you start beating the teams that people say that and your protagonists are going to say, oh, well, they're better than they should beat them. Yeah, top to bottom, do I think ASU has more than UCLA at this point right now? Sure. But Chip Kelly, again, playing a lot of young guys, and they're starting to come through. They're starting to play better too. Now, yeah, ASU, do you need to respond better? Sure. But you become a great team and elite when you start beating the teams that, like you're saying, like a Utah, like, an Oregon. And the USC, I think USC is, I mean, come on. They beat Colorado last week, Paul. I mean, if ASU wins, we're sitting here saying we're licking our chops to play USC because they go to Boulder, but both teams have over 500 yards of offense. So don't tell me that
Mike,
ASU can't move the ball on USC. So it's
Mike,
you're right.
Hold,
it's when these benchmark.
Hold on, though, buddy. You don't become a powerhouse by beating only Michigan State. You become a powerhouse when you leave no doubt
no,
when you play these
saying.
Other schools.
That's what I'm saying.
But hold on.
Right,
but
I'm agreeing with you.
You know, Alabama's a powerhouse, not only because they can beat LSU and Auburn, but they're a powerhouse because when Vanderbilt and Arkansas and those teams come to town, there's no
Well, yeah, the pathetic
we,
teams. Right, that's what I'm saying. You go from a good – no, we're saying the same thing. I just said a little backwards. You go from a good team – that's what I'm saying. You go from a good team – like you're saying, if an Alabama just constantly beat, you know, Arkansas's, Vanderbilt's, Kentucky's, Missouri's, you know, if they constantly beat them but then struggled, like you're saying, with the LSUs, with the Auburns, with the, you know, maybe even Georgia. But that's what I'm saying. You become a good team when you consistently beat those teams that you feel you have more depth than, and you know you're in the heart of hearts, people know that you're better than. But then you become elite, like I said, when you start beating, you know, USC, when you start beating, you know, Oregon, Utah, consistently from what they've built. Because what Kyle Whittingham has built there, I mean, he's been there a long time in Utah. It's one of those things where you know you're getting raw every time you go in. So yeah, we're agreeing. I'm saying you go from good to elite, and I didn't finish that, when you beat those teams consistently. You're gonna make the plays, you're gonna keep it close, and you know down the stretch you have a quarterback and an offense that is gonna make the right decisions, make the right plays, and a defense that if they do score, you know, isn't gonna let them advance the ball whatsoever at all. They're going to keep it up, and that's how you become elite. So yeah, I'm agreeing with you. You're saying the same thing. But I mean, Chip Kelly as a coach, again, and I'm not making an excuse, I do think it's a bad loss. I'm with Sands on that because of the way the game started. But my point is, Chip Kelly's doing the same thing at UCLA. Everybody's like, oh, Chip Kelly should be fired after we, I mean, not you, when I say everybody, I know we weren't, but I mean, after, you know, their loss to Cincinnati, you're like, oh, it's over. I mean, it's his second season. And look what he built at Oregon. I mean, yeah, he took it over from Mike Bellotti, who, again, definitely started to trend it in that direction. And then Chip Kelly takes over. But it's going that way. Yes, ASU's going to need to take those steps. I mean, next year, here's a fun fact for you. We learned today in the coach's press conference. Next year, there's only going to be seniors on the team. Paul, five seniors, junior loaded. And then you obviously have, you know, freshmen, you know, sophomores, freshmen that'll be sophomores. But yeah, there's going to be five seniors. But Herm had a little twinkle. He does, because again, in recruiting, yeah, these two losses are tough. In the grand scheme of things, guys coming in, guys that are going to have that playing under their belts, they need to take that step. But it's the second season of it, Paul. So again, I know you're not, you know, like Coach says, you want to play with passion, not emotion. And yeah, fans get emotional. And yeah, I mean, for Sun Devil football, you and I talked about it a few weeks ago. For Sun Devil football, it was one of those things. It's always been one of those things that people are like, man, it's like a sleeping giant out in the desert. Like, you know, some good runs happen, and then it's like, oh yeah, and then it kind of, you know, kind of simmers back down, and it peels off a little bit. But it's like, it's right there. So their vision and what they're doing, I'm just so, again, you know me, my theory, when people call me with something better than, you know, fire the coach or fire the coordinator. Hey, let me give you an NFL example. I know you know this. Look at Atlanta. I mean, I know Atlanta's been a little bit banged up. So Dan Quinn is basically forced to fire all of his coordinators. And, I mean, he's calling the defense. The defense is too bad. They have a little bit of fight. They're firing all the coordinators, bringing another set of coordinators in. Look how terrible Atlanta's doing right now. So again,
But Dan Quinn should have been.
What's
fired.
That?
Let's be honest with Atlanta. Dan Quinn should have been.
No, I think that whole staff should have been. But see, you and I look at it a different way. Again, I get the Super Bowl hangover, and I get people are like, "Oh, you expect more from Atlanta." I mean, Matt Ryan, obviously a very good quarterback. You have a guy
overrated.
Bring in Calvin Ridley, the running game. The running game has been, well, okay,
terrible.
Either way. But
terrible.
The running game, no, before was good. Now it's not been good. That's what I'm saying. I think if you keep that whole group together, and then you can fill your game plan after a third year. I mean, people in this day and age, they, again, I know fans want to win, and people that are, you know, passionate about it, but at the same time, everybody just has the answer, fire the coach, and everybody just repeats what they hear, you know. A lot of people, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people that are fans repeat what they hear from, you know, smart people like you and I, Paul. But it's my theory has always been, form your own opinion. Look at it. Trust your eyes. You always hear coaches say that, you know, especially in football, don't get dirty eyes, even in basketball. I mean, you're a basketball guy, but trust your eyes. Trust your eyes. Like, as a person, if you played, again, even if you play at the highest level and you've been around it, you get it. What they're doing at ASU, yeah, in two years from now, here's what I'm going to say. I don't want to hear anything about it next year. But at the end of not next season, but the season after, if it's still a middle-of-the-pack team, then fine. Then go a different way.
Well,
I'm totally with you.
But, Mike, hold up. First off, I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line, Mike Caratino, Sun Devil alum, co-host of the Sports Hangover, heard every Saturday on NBC Sports Radio. I've only got 4 minutes, but hold on. I'm not saying fire her. I'm not saying fire her, Gordon.
Right. No, I know you're not. I was saying the fan.
What I'm saying, though, is there has to be some type of pressure because you're on schedule.
Right.
If you lose to SC and you lose to Oregon, those are not bad losses. But because you have bad losses, you're still looking at 7-5. And I'm smart enough, and most people that cover sports are smart enough to know 7-5 last year with a veteran team is not as good as 7-5 with the young team because the young team should only get better. So I get that.
Right.
But I don't want to – just because I like the direction and because I like the coaching and I like the players, that doesn't mean that I'm going to excuse when you play that badly and you look that unprepared. When we both sat in that press conference last week and heard him say, we know Chip Kelly runs. We know he wants to run. We know he wants to pound the ball. And then you come out and you let him do what you said he was going to do. Someone was not prepared.
But again, right. But I'm with you on that. Right. They knew it was coming. But UCLA tweaked it, made some adjustments. ASU adjusted a little too late. And again, you're right. I mean, which, like he says, I mean, it comes down to coaching, but then the players got to go be players, and they got to trust it. I mean, the penalties and mistakes on the false start, he said today, the false starts, they worked on that. They knew Utah shifted, UCLA, Utah shifted, and they got some false starts. So what do you think is going to happen this week? And he said they practiced it all, you know, things they practice all week. It's young. They make mistakes. They need to learn. He goes, I'm not taking anything away from UCLA, but I just think each team is getting to that point where they're improving. And overall, we're in a way saying the same thing. Yeah, it is. It's not a great loss to Colorado, even though Colorado offensively has some dudes that are going to be playing on Sundays. That being said, too, you're right. I want to see steps. So you're 7-5 last year. In the regular season, I mean, the bowl game, you go 7-6, but you get to 7 wins. If you get to 8 wins, people are like, oh, well, it's only one more win. I mean, you have to see the vision, and you're right. I mean, yes, it's not about not being held accountable. Believe me, everyone's going to be held accountable around there, and they will make the adjustment. And again, against USC, a packed house, obviously, you know, not this Saturday because of the bye week, but next Saturday, which will be very nice for – again, and I think they come out very refreshed and fired up. I mean, it's not that they haven't been fired up, but, I mean, that's the thing. You want to get back in the win column. You know it. I mean, playing, coaching, you lose, and it's like you guys want to get right back out there and do it. So, yeah, I mean, it is an accountability thing. Look at the recruits that they're bringing in. Guys, like Herm's saying, we want to keep getting these recruits and then not have to play them, be in a position not have to play them as freshmen. Well, it's going that way, and I think that, yeah. I want to see – I love seeing passion from the fans. I'm not saying don't be passionate. I'm just saying just be realistic. Come at us with something better than, oh, fire the coach or Rob Likens needs to be fired or bench Jaden Daniels. I mean, again, I mean, I always had a coach years ago talk to us and say, if you become a coach or you become, you know, a GM in any sport with any team and you start, you know, actually reading all the headlines and listening to the fans, and trying to run it like they would because they don't, you know, caps just don't fall,
well,
you know, change out of the air. But you're gonna be sitting with them, and you know that. So I mean, again, yes, have passion. Yes, be happy about it. I mean, you know how painful it is for me to defend that school down south, Paul. Here's a great example of that. That you know how hard it is for me to defend. Right, real quick. I defended Sean Miller real quick when they wanted to fire him. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to. You just have to take it in stride. And, again, 2 years from now, if it's still the same middle of the road, then, yeah, maybe he needs to go a different direction.
Well, he does need to be fired. Real quick, 2 minutes left. Have you know ASU out-of-conference schedule. This is why, just so you know, like I said, we only got a couple minutes, why I'm putting so much pressure on them this year, because they had a real out-of-conference schedule the last 2 years. Next year's out-of-conference schedule is really bad. So they're going to have to be really good to overcome that really bad out of conference. Northern Arizona, UNLV, and BYU aren't exactly world killers. So there's already
BYU
a disdain
will give them
for
some street cred, but yeah.
Okay,
right.
No, it will not. Because to everybody else, the Pac-12 is weak, and BYU is always a fraud. So
it's
there,
not
there will
weak.
Not be them.
We're not having this argument right now. It's not weak, but anyway,
listen to what I said. to everyone else that matters that vote, the Pac-12 is weak and BYU is a fraud. And we could say it's not a reality, but to the people that vote, it is a reality. And let's be honest, if we look at the only two teams, there's really only two teams. I'm going to say because I'm a Pac-12 guy. There are only two teams in the Pac-12 that could really compete on a national level, and that's Oregon and Utah. There's no other team in the Pac-12 that can compete. I mean, if we're
okay,
just being honest.
Again, but I look at the – okay, but again, the Pac-12 and teams get punished. Like, Oregon doesn't get punished for it because, yeah, what they built up. USC won't get punished for it if they do it because it got built up. We can go with the schedule, and I get it. Every conference does it. That's why I say there's no best conference. But look at the trash – out-of-conference games that the SEC plays, that the Big 12 plays. Everybody does it, and yet some teams get more credit. It's pathetic. So the people that are voting are absolutely pathetic. I'm not saying that the Pac-12 should be looking at the best because you know me. I told you there is no best conference because those bottom four teams every cycle are bye weeks for those top teams. It's just another bye week if they don't play down to them. I mean, look at what when Stanford was loaded, obviously, you look at Oregon, you look at what Washington did.
But Stanford was never a national – but the only team that's been – again, let's just be honest. The only team that's been a national power ever consistently in the Pac-10/12 has been USC. There's never been a power.
No, because Washington – no, but people had – Washington had stretches, even when Don James was there.
Oh,
I mean, I know Rick Neuheisel came in, but I'm just saying.
You said stretches. Consistently, there's only been one.
Right, but USC's been down, and look, because they became a national brand, and just like Alabama was terrible before Nick Saban got there. I mean, Mike Shula, they were 7-5 before,
but
up in arms.
But they had Bear Bryant before that. We'll carry this on, because – we've only got like 30 seconds left. Tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
Hit me up on Twitter at Diablo00. Yes, that is for the Sun Devils at Diablo00. Also, Saturday mornings, Sports Hangover, 9 to 10, NBC Sports Radio, AM 1060. Check it out. And, you can call me Uncle Homer all you want. But, again, I disagree with national powers, and I think people are lazy when it comes to voting. And it's an absolute – it's not a lifetime achievement award. It's that year only. But that's how they can reach me. You and I will talk about it more because we have fun. And for all you kids out there, if you're ever around Paul, don't put ketchup on your hot dog in front of him.
All right, buddy. We'll catch up. Thanks for coming on a short note.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thanks. The one and only Mike Arougnuto. Let's take a quick break, and then let's wrap this up.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Javon Carter with the Phoenix Suns, and I am in the cave with PLR.
So we're going to end the show talking about the Suns today, and last night they played the Utah Jazz. I have some more quick sound. You'll see it up on Instagram here shortly. But you'll see an article at thesportscave.com as well. But the Suns got holes last night. The Suns are a very good team, and the refs are not. Okay, you can hit me later with the very good. Do what you want. But the Suns are a good team, and they're competing with some of the best teams in the league right now. Yeah, we know they came out and blew out a bad team to start the season. But they came right back. They went to Denver, lost by 1 point on what should have been a foul that wasn't called. They ended the game after they made a furious rush to get the game into overtime. They then came back, beat the Clippers. Didn't have any, oh, woe is me, which they would have had last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. They didn't. Then they come back and they play the Jazz, who had 38 free throw attempts to the Suns 23. Both teams played ridiculously physical. Now, I'm a firm believer when I play you an interview, that's an interview that I was a part of and that I take out and I set it up. But for this, I want you to hear the frustration and the questions that were asked to Kelly Oubre
after this game and equate it to a terrible loss to you.
Kelly, what would you say the biggest difference was in 2018?
I really don't know. I kind of got to watch the film.
Is there any takeaways from this game that you saw without watching the film that you liked that you saw from your team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we fought. We got to get better, though.
Is it, one of the things that Bang said is when you guys stay within the system, the offense works. Do you feel like you guys got
I agree.
A bit away from that?
I mean, I don't know. I got to watch the film. But, you know, yeah, if you stay with the system, it works. Yeah.
Coach talked about the 38 free throws that they took. I know you guys want to play an aggressive style of defense, but how do you balance being aggressive without fouling?
No foul.
Is it just a young team learning to close out games better at the end of them?
I mean, we lost by 1 point, so you know, we got blown out. Try to watch the film and see, you know, what we can do to get better.
Thanks, Coach.
Just watch the film. Just watch the film. I got to watch the film. Got to watch the film. That's frustration. That's frustration. Also, it's frustration because he did have a wide open look from three-pointer, from three-point land on a pass from Devin Booker that he missed. So you know he was overly frustrated. But Devin Booker, who didn't get the benefit of the doubt of a call in Denver, and who did commit a foul. He said he committed the foul. But that's usually a playthrough in the NBA in the closing seconds. But not last night. Not with the refs reffing that game last night that decided that everything that the Suns did was a foul. And everything Utah did was physical play. And I'm not going to say their names, Tony Brown, Ben Taylor, and Musa Dagger. I'm not going to say their names. But let's listen to a clip of what Devin Booker said.
But you guys did hold them to 27 of 71, which is good team defense
overall. I think we've guarded pretty much every game very good. Since you guys brought the free throws, you know, it's been a big gap in those, a lot of games. So we have to earn that respect, man. Come out here, we're fighting every day. They'll eventually learn, you know, that this is us, it's not a fluke, that we're supposed to be winning these games.
Listen to what he said. The Suns are not a fluke. They feel they're supposed to win games. Listen, people, I've been covering this team for a long time. And for a long time, the Suns have not felt like they should win every game. They could say it, but you could see in the actions they didn't believe it. This team right now believes that they're in every game. They should be in every game. They should close out every game. And they should win every game. That is emanating from the top, from James Jones, all the way down through Monty Williams, all the way down through their best player in Devin Booker, and all the way down to everyone. Losses like this used to frustrate them. Losses like this now ridiculously frustrates them, especially when you hold the Utah Jazz 27 of 71 from the field. 27 of 71, but they get rewarded with 38 free throws. Folks, that's unacceptable. As Monty Williams said, when I asked him, it's hard to find a flow when the Zebras are constantly sending you to the free throw line. But this is the price you pay when you've been bad for so long. You don't get the calls. You go into every game as an underdog, and you're the one that's fighting. The one thing I'm going to tell fans, get with this team, because they're not going to be the underdogs for much longer. Social media at the Sports Cave. On the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Cave is always with the K. TheSportsCave.com. Again, Cave is always with the K. You can get me directly on Twitter at PLR on Sports. Thanks for joining. Thanks for the callers that called in. All done on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thanks to my main man, Mike Caracciuto, for giving a call. That's some Sun Devil love that he has. All the time. 100%. Until tomorrow, make sure you enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
I have the Astros tonight. I said six. I'm sticking to six. This has been the Cash Show with PLR. This is PLR. Everyone, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Have a good night. Thank you.